chapter of Isaiah, and beginning with verse 24, we'll read through verse 30. In your Scofield Bible, page 745, Isaiah 37, verses 24 through 30, we'll read the verses responsively. The 30th verse is the text verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof. I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass, that thou shouldst be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power, they were dismayed and confounded, they were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me, and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And together on the text verse, And this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth up of the same, and in the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. And let's pray.
I want you to look at a verse with me, if you would. You read it a while ago, but I want you to see it. Turn to Isaiah chapter 37 again. I'm going to read one verse and preach from this verse this morning. I'm going to speak this morning on God's way of survival. God's plan or God's way of survival. And by the way, if you don't need this now, you will need it someday. If you have not come to the place to where you think you can't make it, you will come to that place where you can't think you can't make it. I promise you, in my life, six times I've come to the place where I did not know if I was going to make it or not. And, of course, I've lived for over 69 years. But you're going to get there. If you're not there yet, you will be there. And you're going to wonder if you can make it through the day. I want you to remember this sermon. I think you will. I don't think it'll be hard for you to remember it. I want to read this verse. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself. Now look at me. God has told his people he's going to punish them. But he made a beautiful statement. He said, I'm going to punish you, and I'm going to bring you back the same way you went. That's the good thing about God. God will not cast you away forever. And so, he said, this is the way back. This year, ye shall eat this year, such as groweth of itself. In other words, he said the gleanings, the leftovers, what's on the ground, you won't sow this year. I won't give you a crop this year. You're going to eat this year of what's on the ground. Now notice what's going to happen the second year. Ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same. He said, now the second year after I've punished you, there's going to be some crop just grow up. You know, the wild seeds or extra seeds, and you'll eat then. Now then. And in the third year, sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. Don't miss this. Don't miss it. First year, you'll eat what's there. Second year, you'll eat what just springs up of itself. the third year I'm going to give you a good harvest. Now, I want to talk today on God's way of survival. I'm going to use this microphone so I can move around. Our Heavenly Father, there are a lot of people here that sure do need what I'm going to say. And everybody here will someday need what I'm going to say. May those who need it digest it immediately. May those who do not need it store it for the day when it's needed. Please help the people to listen. I surely want to help them. And I believe what I'm going to say will and can. In Jesus' name, amen. God said, listen carefully, God said, you're going to have some tough times. Now he said, I'm going to teach you how to survive the tough times. Listen to me. It's a 3-year survival course. He said in the first year, and I'm going to let this over here represent the first year. He said, you're just going to exist. Now folks, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been through a heartache, you know what that existing period is. I mean, brother, you don't think you can make it. And you just exist. I'm looking at a little lady over here on the second row. She and her husband went to our college. Lovely people. Went down to the south to start a church. What town is that? Oh, what town? He had leukemia, didn't he? Yeah. What? Columbia, South Carolina. And they left the college, graduated, went down to Columbia, South Carolina, started a church. And he found out he had leukemia. That's right, leukemia. Serious case leukemia. Now, at first, you just exist. You just keep on breathing and just exist. God said to Israel, I'm going to have to punish you. I'm going to tell you how you can make it back. He said, in the first year, you're just going to exist. You won't see any hope at all. You're just going to exist. But he said the second year is going to be a bit different. You're going to see a little crop begin to grow the second year. That's the year of hope, a little hope. Then he said the third year, you're going to have the harvest and be back to normal. Now, it is not always years, but you listen to me, it is always this progression. It may be months, but there are always these three eras. There is that era when you come to the place in your life, it may be that the doctor says it. I've watched Ms. Evans go through it. I've watched her go through that period when she just existed. The doctor said, it's cancer. And she just existed. She couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And she just existed. Now that's the key time. God said, don't give up. Just exist. And then I saw like a little button was pushed and she entered the era of hope. A little light at the end of the rainbow. The end of the tunnel. A little light. And then she entered the third era where she's preaching or speaking all across the country. And preaching at home. but now she, I mean, the great lady is spectacular. This building was almost packed and jammed with ladies from all over America. But why did Ms. Evans stand here and speak 4 times with blessing to the ladies of America? Tell you why. Because this first period back here, she just existed. That's the first era, existing. Second era, hoping. Third era, harvest, fruitfulness, again. Old story. Used it many times. Perfect for right now. I was out west. I was talking to a pastor. He came to me and he said, Brother Dr. Hiles, I need to talk with you. I need you to be my pastor for a while. He put his head on his shoulder, began to cry, and then he looked at me and he said, I have a teenage daughter. She's not married. I just heard she's pregnant. And I said, man, I'm so sorry. He said, Brother Hiles, how can I face Sunday? What can I do Sunday?
I'm supposed to go preach Sunday. What can I do? What can I do Sunday?
I said, first thing you do is get up. Second thing you do is you shower. Third thing you do is you dress. Fourth thing you do is you eat breakfast. Fifth thing you do is you go get in the car. Sixth thing you do is you drive to church. Seventh thing you do is you sit on the platform. Eighth thing you do is you get up and preach. That's what you do. You keep on doing what you've always been doing. I'm talking to folks this morning. You're in that first era of existence, but I got news for you. Hang in there. I mean, the second era is going to come as sure as the sunrise follows the nighttime. And one of these days you'll enter that second era. You still have a burden and a heartache, but you see a little hope down there that second year, or that second era, a little hope, a little light at the end of the tunnel. And you keep on going, and one day the brightness comes again, and the joy is there again, and you're back to happiness and excitement and thrill and joy again. This pastor came to me again several years later, same preacher. He said, Dr. Hiles, he said, I don't believe this. My second teenage daughter is pregnant, not married. And I said, man, how in the world are you going to make it Sunday? A smile came through his tears. And he said, the first thing I'm going to do is get up. Second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take a shower. Third thing I'm going to do, I'm going to dress. Fourth thing I'm going to do, I'm going to eat breakfast. Fifth thing I'm going to do, I'm going to get in the car. Sixth thing I'm going to do, I'm going to drive to church. Seventh thing I'm going to do, I'm going to sit on the platform. The eighth thing I'm going to do is I'm going to preach. That's what you do. When your heart's broken and the news comes, and all over this building I've seen them, the news comes, the heartbreak, the daughter's broken your heart, she's pregnant, the son's broken your heart, he's wrecked his life. I mean, your husband's left you for a whore, and you're left alone to rear their children, and your life is all of a sudden turmoil. The first thing you do is exist. Just hang in there and exist. And one day, hallelujah, second year is going to come. And you're going to begin to see a little light at the end of the tunnel. And you just keep on and keep on, and one day you're back to the thrill and the joy that you had before the heartache ever came. You can just keep existing in era number one. One day, like a button is pushed, era number two will come, and you will see a flicker of hope. Hey, you come to college. You came to college, and every freshman in college is in era one for a couple of months. You're homesick. That home you've looked forward to leaving for 18 years, suddenly you want to go back there. That mean old dirty daddy that made you abide by the rules and you couldn't even drink liquor. That mean old dirty daddy all of a sudden has become your pope. You want to go home. And that old hussy that you call mother all of a sudden become a queen. And you're in college and you're sharing a little room 10 by 10 with 45 other girls. And you wait for 15 minutes to use the restroom. And the dormitory is under air conditioning, and it's 110 for the first week. What do? You exist. You exist. You just keep on, but you don't go back. And you don't quit. You don't give up. You don't despair. You get back over there in era number one, and you say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to exist. And I'll guarantee you, along about the end of the first semester, pretty soon you begin to like it a little bit. Dr. Evans is no longer the Antichrist. He's the false prophet now. but all of a sudden, that mean old man up there on the platform, he's sort of nice. And we love these dormitories. It'd be awful to have a room by yourself. And all of a sudden, you love the college, and by the time you graduate, you're over here at number three. But the secret is, when you're here in era number one, God said, exist. Just exist. And one of these days, era number two will open up, and you'll see a little light down at the end of the tunnel. And one of these days, it'll be era number three, and you'll be happy, and you'll love Howells Anderson College. And that's always God's way of survival. But if you run when you're in era number one, or you're number one, you'll never have the joy of era number three. You had a heartbreak. Your heart's broken. Brother, I could almost point to any pew in this room today. I know you too well. I know your heart aches. I know what you're going through. And all over this room this morning, people have, the news has come that's broken your heart. And you say, how can I take it? You just keep on taking it. Well, how can I keep going? You just keep on going. Well, how can I make it? You just make it. Well, how can I go? So you just do it. That's all. You get up and you go to work and you hurt and you eat. And you come home, and you're hurt, and you go to bed, and you get up, and you say, I don't care, I'm not a quitter, I'm not going to turn back, I'll take whatever comes my way. And all of a sudden, you take it, and you take it, and you take it, and God says to Gabriel, go down there and open the next door. You walk in that second day. All of a sudden, there's a little light down there at the end of the tunnel. Maybe my daughter who's pregnant can amount to something after all. Maybe she will have a happy life. And maybe my wife and I, or my husband and I, maybe we can take it after all. And out yonder one day you find yourself basking in the sunlight of day number three, or year number three, or era number three. And you find yourself happy and joyous once again. Doesn't matter what your burden is this morning. I've watched, as I said a while ago, I've watched Ms. Evans. I've watched her when she didn't think. Well, I've watched her when she's planning her funeral. I mean, she's picking out her funeral dress like she's picking out a wedding dress. Picking out the best man, the matron of honor. And wake up, everybody. And she's picking out, I mean, she's getting ready to die. But she didn't. She kept on going. She kept on getting up. She kept on existing. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When the heartaches come and the burdens come, that first era, don't quit. Hang in there. There's light down there. You just can't see it right now. And God said to Israel, He said, the first year is going to be the year of existing. It's whatever you got left to eat, you eat it. But the second year, He said, I'm going to cause some wild food to grow. In the third year, I'm going to give you a big harvest. But the secret always is hanging on during that first era, that first year. I've watched forsaken wives. Look at me. I've watched forsaken wives. All over this room, that great army of ladies who've been no choosing of themselves, have had to rear their children by yourself, and you've had to be the mother and the father. And I've watched you. And then you sat in my office, and the husband just left you. And you don't know what to do. How can I make it? I don't know what you do. You just do. You exist. Numbers of you have kept you alive. I've tried to keep you breathing. All of a sudden, second era comes. You see a little light. Your boy hits the home run and wins the little league game. Little light comes. After a while, the kids are all grown and get married, and you're by yourself, haven't got to rear them anymore, and that's the wonderful day of it all. But I'm trying to say that the little ladies, I've watched you. I've watched those of you, your husbands have left you, and what can I do? How can I face tomorrow? You don't have to face tomorrow. Just face today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And I've watched you. Listen to me. Young people over there, listen to me. I've watched as you came. I won't call any names, but I could. Some of the happiest women in this church are women that, whose children are growing up and they've reared them by themselves. They found out there's life after all. There's life at the end of Oswald. There's life after Joe. Oh, I wish I hadn't called those names. Sure as shooting, some Joe's going to leave his wife tomorrow. But I'm saying there's life after that. Exist. Hang in there. I've watched you. Parents of children have broken your hearts. Let me testify this morning. Six times in my life, I've had to exist for a period. 1957, October 1957, I thought it was all over. I didn't think I'd be able to pastor anymore. I thought it was over. I said, what did you do? Went to church on Sunday morning. What did you do? Taught my Sunday school class. What did you do? Preached my sermon. What did you do? Went to work every morning. Did you think you could would be alive tomorrow? No, sir, but I knew I was alive today. And I existed. God said, if you just keep on existing, He said, I'll let you come to the second era, that era where you can see a little light. And I began to see a little light in 1957. And then all of a sudden, after the second era, came the third era. And then my ministry began to unfold and had a greater ministry than I ever had before. But the reason is I took it during the existing period. That's it. You quit during the existing period, you'll never see the harvest time. You quit. I mean, you say, preacher, I don't know how I can take it. You don't have to know how you can take it, but bless God, you can take it. 1959, 36 years ago, I came to Hammond. We faced a battle. We didn't know what was going to happen. I could not see tomorrow. I could not see this great host of people here. I could not see this great complex of buildings. I could not see that Baptist City complex of our high school, grade school, and junior high school. I could not see that great Howells Anderson College. All I could see was just as far as I could. I could hardly see my hand because of the darkness and the fog, and I could hardly see my hand. What did you do? I kept on going. That's what I did. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's a God in heaven that rewards tenacity and rewards perseverance. And if you'll hang in there, the second day is going to come and the third day is going to come. So the first year I was here just existed. Second year I was here, I began to see a little hope that something could happen. And the third year I was here, the harvest began to come. And now for these 36 years, bless God, 34 years since then, the harvest has kept on coming. But you listen to me. If I'd done what some of you folks did back there in that first era, you wouldn't be here today, and many of you wouldn't be saved today. There wouldn't be any Howells Anderson College today. Wouldn't be any Hammond Baptist Schools today. You better thank God somebody back here didn't give it up, throw in the towel, quit, and turn back, but they kept on going when they could not see tomorrow. What may have been the darkest hour of my life. In a motel room in Ederland, Texas. Just a few minutes before I was to go to preach, the phone rang. And I heard the worst news I guess I've heard in my life. I fell on my face. My Bible in my hands and my coat on, ready to go preach. And I said, I can't preach tonight. And I may never preach again. I'm not worthy to preach tonight. So what did you do? I got up, walked to the car, sat down in the back seat, was driven to church, sat on the platform, got up and preached. Can I preach tomorrow? I don't know, but I know one thing, I can preach tonight. I could not see tomorrow. For one entire year, as I preach somewhere across America every week, tomorrow in New York, and yet last Thursday and Friday in Pennsylvania, one whole year where I'd preach across the country, I wouldn't look at the congregation. I'd sit here. I'd walk in. I'd walk out from the door, and I'd walk in. I wouldn't look at the congregation for a while. I knew they were looking at me to see how I was doing. I wouldn't look at them. For one whole year, I did not want to walk into any building in America. You say, what did you do? I did what I'd always done. But if I can't preach tomorrow, I'll let them have it today. Wake up. Then one day, after about a year, thank God, came the second year. And I began to see a little light. God will use me again. God still loves me. And then for these years, since 1984, I've had the greatest years of my ministry. You know why? You know why I'm enjoying the third year? Because I endured the first year. And if you can't take it back in the first year, you'll never enjoy the third year. And I don't care who you are, the first year's going to come, and the first era's going to come. When it comes, you look it square in the eyeball and say, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm going to do today what I'm supposed to do today. In 1989, I faced the same type heartache. Two other times in my life, I faced the same thing. I know what it's like to be in the first year. I know what it's like to wonder how many times I'll walk in the pulpit again. I know what it's like to wonder if I'll have sanity tomorrow to even preach at all. But I also know what it's like to walk in that door right there and you don't even know anything's wrong. I know what it's like to walk in that door there on top side and say, for the grace of God, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we need some people today in America that have some character. We can't take it anymore in America. We need some men in America who won't stop doing their duties. This morning, if you're in era number one, hang in there. Era number two, the era of hope, is on the way. The day's going to come and there'll be a little light. The day's going to come and you'll see a little light at the end of the tunnel. The day's going to come when the era of existence is over and the era of hope. And you say, maybe there is a hope. And day number three is going to come, if you hang in there, where you're going to have a happy, joyous life. If you've buried your loved one in the last few days, just keep on going. Exist. That's all you can do. But I promise you this. After you exist a while, you're going to see a year number two come. After you look that tunnel for a while and see a little light there, all of a sudden, day number three, year number three is going to come. But you got to learn to take it in year number one. If you're in era number one, hang in there. Hope is on the way. If you're in era number two, hang in there. Harvest is on the way. If you're in era number three, if you're over here and it's all over now and you're back on top side and the joy is back and the blessings are back, go back over there to era number one and tell people over there it's going to get better after a while. Every once in a while I feel like an old man like me ought to resign. Don't get your hopes up. I don't feel that way right now. I feel right now I'll ask for a raise. But every once in a while, I'll get to feeling old. After, look, I've been married to a woman that's a senior citizen. I'm married to a woman that's a great-grandmother. I'm married to a woman that gets a Social Security check a few dollars a month. I'm married to a woman that's been married to her husband for 50 years. Thank God I'm not old. And I realize what I'm married to, I feel old. And how long she's been married to whoever she's married to, I feel old. It dawns on me. You know what a younger man couldn't do? He couldn't say, I've been there in era number one, and I'm now in era number three. But an old man can. I can stand up, ladies and gentlemen, and walk back there to those. I'm over here now, brother. I'm over here in era number three. Happy as a June bug on the last day of May. I tell you what. Carefree. Mayor, I tell my people, if you don't like my preaching, I'll go on Social Security. I can retire. I can get me a pair of Bermuda shorts. I'll go to Florida. I'll play shuffleboard the rest of my life. I'm happy today, and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come to Him to stay. Praise God. But I've not always been over here in this sunshiny part. I come back over here to those of you in era number one today, and I say, look, folks, Hang in there. I've been over here before. 6 times I've been over here. I know how you feel. I know how it is to go to bed at night and you can't sleep. And when you do wake up in the morning after a little sleep, you don't want to face today. And you get out of bed and you don't want to face today. And you, how can I face it? You face it. How can I take it? You take it. How can I make it? You make it. How do I keep going? You just keep going. But I want to tell you folks over here in era number one, you won't always be here. God told Israel, the first year, you'll just exist. The second year, you'll see a little bit of crop begin to come up, a little hope. And the third year, you can sow and you can reap. And let me close by saying this. The harvest will be sweeter if you've gone a couple of years without it. Era number three will be sweeter if you've been in era number one. Look at me. I got to confess something. Pride. I look in the mirror and I get proud. I looked in the mirror this morning and told Randy Erickson, I said, look at that beautiful picture. You're not with me, are you? You left me somewhere. You're back over in era number one. I want to confess something. Every time, look at me. Every time I faced these 6 times where I thought it was all over, but I kept on going, and 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 came to year number three, I've been proud of myself because I toughed it out. And at the age of 69 years of age, I look back on my life and I can say, I faced it, I took it, and I endured it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're not going to be proud of yourself if you sit down and quit right there in the year number one. You're not going to like yourself. But you say, with the grace of God, I'm going to take it. I lost my loved one, I'm going to endure it. I'm going to keep on going. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to turn back. My daughter's broken my heart. My son's broken my heart. My daughter got pregnant before she's married. I'm heartbroken. Don't see how I can face tomorrow, but I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to do today my obligation, my duties, my responsibilities today. I wonder one day you'll be 69. You'll look back and see the battles. And you'll say, thank God, I faced it. Took it, and I endured it. So if you're back over here in era number one today, take courage, folks. I've covered the whole gamut. If you're back here in year number one, take courage. I've been over here in year number three. So here you are. You just heard the bad news. Your heart's broken. Doctor says it's cancer. Like Ms. Evans, you say, how can I take it? How can I take it? I'm going to die. Ms. Evans is not going to die. The wicked never die young. What did she do? I told you the other night. I called her on the phone. She'd given up. I called her on the phone. She said, Brother Hines, all this chemotherapy, I'm not going to take chemotherapy anymore. It makes me crazy. I said, Ms. Evans, you're crazy before you ever got cancer. She began to laugh. But she took it. And she took it. And I want to say this in closing again. I'm going to close whenever you start listening. I'll say it in closing again. Ms. Evans would never have been the blessing she is today if she hadn't have said, I'll take it in year number one. Thank God those who take it through year number one soon will enter the second year and see a little light. And a little harvest begins to crop up on its own. You keep on taking it, and then the third year, the joy of the Lord comes, and happiness comes, and victory comes, and the harvest comes. Where are you today? Are you in era number one? Face it! Exist! Are you in era number two? Keep on going. That light at the end of the tunnel is a big light once you get down there at the end of the tunnel. If you're in area number three, tell everybody how good God's been to you. And rush back there to area number one and say to you folks back there, man, listen to me. People all across. I think about Judge Clement over here, his family. Judge heard he had cancer. And again, he'll live forever. Because the wicked never die young. And there's no honest judge in the world. The boy just kept on going. I asked his son, what's your dad doing? He says, he's going to work every morning. He's still on the bench. Sending truck drivers to jail. Come back over here and tell the people, let me tell you this morning, I've been here. I tried to see my hand at the front. I couldn't see it for the fog and the darkness. I've tried to see tomorrow and I couldn't see tomorrow. So what'd you do? I did what I was supposed to do today. I got up. I showered. I dressed. I ate. I got in the car. I drove to church. I sat up on the platform. I stood to preach. Maybe the last time, but I can do it one more time. And tomorrow I'll get up and I'll shower and I'll dress and I'll eat and I'll get in the car and I'll go to church and I'll sit on the platform and I'll preach. And as long as I can, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And hallelujah, glory to God, praise His wonderful name. The third day came. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. But I wouldn't be the happy person you see right now if I'd quit in year one. Would you bow your heads? No one leaving.